But yeah, I mean,
once you got out of the league, they were able to. Once you weren't blocking them, the Patriots were able to establish a dynasty.
I stole a couple Super Bowls. I made something like that. So happy Boxing Day, everyone! All right, welcome to Debatable, something that
because Paolo that's the only sport left to watch.
That's not a TV show, something like that. This is the day after the Steph Curry coronation, so sit back, relax, and enjoy me eating some humble pie, I guess. We got Izzy.
Oh no.
Is this what you did here?
What is going on?
Is this how many championships Steph's going to win that you got cropped out of in your own tweet?
That's fine.
What do you call that? It's not a ratio. What do you call that?
It's called...
Cropio'd?
So many people got me confused with other ESPN personality. It always happens and it's normally annoying, but I got to admit, when people were calling out Ryan Clark and Clinton Yates for coming after Steph, I didn't mind. I didn't mind at all. Welcome to the show, Kevin. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. So we had a debate. We were debating what the day after a holiday is called. That's why you came up with Boxing Day. I feel like this is, you know, I'm fine with Boston sports. Are you not fine with Boston sports? Is this a celebration for you, Dom?
It is. It's a celebration. Absolutely. I mean, Steph Curry finally proved to me, because obviously that's why he came out this season, was because this is the Warriors. Steph Curry is a Warrior. He's a Warrior, right? I'm talking about the Warriors. He only dedicated himself this season because he wanted to prove to me that he could do it again. So I'm proud of him. I'm happy that he finally got the validation that he's been playing for all season, is to show me that I was wrong. And to be fair, I was only off by one. That's close.
That's true.
One championship. I said That's he true. Won't win another championship. He won one more championship. So we're pretty close, right?
Can I ask the question now?
By the way, time has stood still because we have been at 30 minutes and we apparently have not said anything good enough.
Yet.
You know how when a crowd doesn't sit down until the home team scores a point? That clock does not start until somebody has made a decent point. Apparently, Dominique, that wasn't good enough. It's interesting, like when they were talking yesterday, some of those players and about this one feeling different, right? Yeah. Maybe it was because it wasn't as dominant because KD wasn't there. Maybe it wasn't because, you know, they were shocking the world like they did on the first one. Maybe it was because it feels like the end of this sort of core possibility continuing. Because, like, look, I'm of the opinion, and I still have said this last night, that, maybe that's a point that was decent because the clock started.
I think
people are going to want to join in here, right? Like some veterans, maybe some guys who just are ring chasing are going to want to play on this team now because they see that Steph Curry can elevate and Draymond Green can elevate a defense and they can win championships here. But I do wonder if they think can Klay, you know, with a full off season really be a guy that we can rely on night after night? Like, is Steph Curry going to have to do this, into his late 30s? Is that still possible?
Yeah.
Do they need the help or should they sort of develop the young players and see? But I wonder if they maybe think that, like, they got fortunate in a year where there was this parity and there didn't need to be a dominant team or a dominant performance there to win a championship, and they're probably going to have to get better to win again.
Okay, so the question is this the most impressive championship from the Warriors?
Such a damn rule follower.
And, well, I'd like to answer the question.
Wearing a tie.
I'm wearing a tie. I'm
sorry.
As Pablo said, I dress for the job I want, which is a guy who answers the questions on Debatable. The one guy. So it's the best story because of how the series went and how the playoffs went. But there's a couple of things that keep me from saying this is impressive. First of all, okay, they had the worst record in basketball. That was their own doing. That wasn't this core playing poorly and showing us that they tanked. They tanked for a year, okay? Like, they understood it. Once the injuries came in, almost 2 years, that once the injuries came in, they decided, let's take a step back. Part of this was by design, okay? That they were going to get, I mean, James Wiseman didn't help, but they were going to get a James Wiseman, and they were going to try to change everything through that. Draymond in this series, that might be the best story that we've had. Not just the podcasting, which helps, but in the first three games, he was giving up 1.24 points per possession when he was playing defense. Worst mark in 8 years. Unbelievable. That's us. That's us three. That's 1.2 points per possession if we're out there, okay? And then he comes out last night, and he makes Jason Tatum looked like a rec league guy on some of those possessions. I mean, it was unbelievable. He was smothering those guys. The Celtics came into this series as half-court defense savants, frankly. Mm. And as the series went along, the Warriors said, oh, we're hoisting up threes. We're wide open. We're running a wide-open offense. We can also play half-court defense better than you. And that's what developed over the past couple of games. And that's why I was so astounded by the story. But no, going through LeBron James is always going to be more impressive than not going through LeBron James. And even if, listen, I know this Lakers team kind of put him out of the equation, but I can't say this is the most impressive Warriors team just because it's more of a feel-good story.
Yeah, I mean, the story
interesting.
Is
I can't. I don't know if I could say, you know, they can play half-court defense better than you. I think what's required to play half-court defense against the Warriors is different than what's required to play half-court defense against any other team in the league, which is why the Celtics, going into this series, looked like and were, frankly, a dominant defense. They just didn't have to play Steph Curry for six games in a row ever in the regular season or in the playoffs coming up to this. And where the Celtics, yeah, on their defensive side, like, it felt like they just kind of got – whether it was early on, just like bad execution where they dropped off way too far off Steph and made it look kind of silly, or to the end where they just kind of got fatigued and it's like, I don't know what to do. Here, Al, just switch. And so I think that's a whole different animal. I think I got to give Steph Curry more credit for that than just saying, oh, the Warriors are better at defense than the Celtics. I think the Warriors had an easier thing to figure out, right, in large part because Jason Tatum, you know, helped in that own, you know, took part in his own demise there by not really being the aggressive player.
And Robert Williams wasn't at full health. So, like, the defense wasn't quite the peak defense that we're used to. But Draymond, to me, was the most interesting player in all of this. Like, a few games ago, Draymond got benched in clutch time. And then in the game last night, he's hitting shots. Like, I wouldn't say big shots, but they had a lead where they were doing it. I feel like when the mid-range jumper, when they were daring him to shoot the mid-range jumper in the second half, the Celtics felt like they were closing the gap. And he pulled it at that point, and that changed things. Not to mention all the other, like, ancillary things that don't fall in the stat sheet. Like, he's running the offense. He's playing good defense, which you mentioned off the top is he wasn't always playing good defense. And all of that stuff is important, and we haven't even gotten to Wiggins, who I think is another great story. But if we're going to wear ties today and answer the question, I would say no, it's not the most impressive because the first time they did it, we kind of didn't think it could be done. Right. Like, the idea of a jump shooting team that's kind of led by a small guard, we have a list of teams that done that, and it's like Isaiah and the Pistons. It's the only team that I think comes up. I guess you could point to, I mean, Chauncey Billups was the best scorer on that second Pistons championship, but I mean, they had Rasheed and they had Ben Wallace, who was an offensive threat. So, like, this was kind of the first time we saw a team win a championship that way. So them doing it again is less surprising than the first go round.
You can only change the sport once, frankly. And that's the way I view it, is that they changed everything and you can't keep changing everything. This is just more proof of what we've already seen. But no, I don't think – when I saw that Warriors team play in the finals first time, I agree with you, Dominique. Like, Charles Barkley famously said, you can't win crap when you're just a jump shooting team. That was the whole book on it. They changed the entire way we look at basketball, frankly, and you can't change that again.
Uh-oh.
Wow, he's already begging.
Yeah, go ahead, Alabaster.
Yeah, well, sorry, you know, I got trampled at the start of the show, so I had to ask politely if I could get in here. In this series, the Celtics were the jump shooting team, and that's why they couldn't win. This team, they couldn't get to the rim like the Warriors. The Warriors were tough defensively, got to the rim at will, and scored at every level. I think a lot of those concerns about the Warriors just being a jump shooting team was sort of like a misrepresentation of how complete that basketball team was just because of how unprecedented Steph and Clay were as shooters from distance. But they, for the last 7 years, have been able to score from every level with Kevin Durant, without Kevin Durant, with that team. Well, like, it's amazing.
I think you're obviously right, but I think the jump shooting moniker, in my view, it's about what is central to their
offense. The identity.
And, yeah, it's like, it's not that they only...
I retweeted Izzy. I'm a great teammate.
It's not that they only shoot jump shots.
Jason Tatum move right there. You got to be aggressive and send your own tweet.
Good call. It's that everything in their offense is predicated on their unique ability to shoot from deep. So, I still think that Steph's mid-range and floater game, we saw it last night. They were running him off the line incredibly aggressively, and he's still just, it feels like, just as effective and finishes at the rim. even over shot blockers and rim protectors in a way that you don't expect for someone who's 6'3".
Wait a second.
Right. Well, this is where...
Wait a second. Go ahead, Alabaster, yeah. You had a Steph Curry's jump shots are doing well stat ready to go. And before that, you preempted it by saying they're not a jump shooting team anymore.
I was saying their identity is not just jump shots. People think that they live and die only by...
Yeah, but I'm looking at the screen here. As you know, I wear a tie. I respect the screen. And all I see is jump shooting team.
Well, this also was more about you know, someone who's really become a jump shooting player, Kevin Durant, Dominique's beloved Kevin Durant, and how, you know, Steph's gravity is unique and he's able to make it work, but just settling for 18 footers like his ex role player teammate Kevin Durant doesn't always work.
Can we talk about another jump shooter real quick? Sure. Who's responsible for this, and that's Steve Kerr.
Yes.
Steve Kerr being able to, like, because this is their identity isn't just jump shooting. Their identity is beautiful basketball. Yep. The identity is great offense. And yeah, it's you know, centered around a couple of jump shooters that you have to respect and you have to come out to, but that's what opens up everything else. And so, yeah, that's their biggest threat. But I, you know, I'm with Alabaster here. They're not a quote unquote jump shooting team. It just happens, you know, happens, like I said, to be one of the strengths. So I don't think this is their most impressive one, but Steve Kerr being able to take, you know, I thought Steph Curry, when they were struggling and kind of had to play an Allen Iverson-ish role, I think that helped him because he could do whichever, right? When things are going great and the offense is flowing, all right, good, I'm just going to do my thing. But when we get to the playoffs, games 3, 4, and 5, when it gets muddy, okay, I'll line you up and take you one-on-one because I've learned how to do this, or one-on-two, yeah, even, because I've learned how to do this in practice. But Steve Kerr kept the thing, the main thing, and that was, we've got to keep playing our offense and make sure that, yeah, he's a threat, but everybody else is live as well. And so he, I mean, the relationship that he has built with Draymond, and where, you know, those two aren't built to like each other, but somehow, you know, it's a little Phil Jackson, Dennis Rodman-ish, yeah, there, and they make it work. And so I think Steve Kerr is just, you know, these four championships, he is Steph's Phil Jackson. You know, he is this guy, and he is largely responsible for maintaining this level of trust in the system and in Steph Curry.
There was a point in the series, and we saw it last night, where it was clear that they could get Steph in any matchup on the court. Like, that they could just move the ball around. I mean, like, you know, Mark Jackson was talking about switching for no reason, how the Celtics were getting sloppy defensively. That's true, but that was part of the calculus and the pressure that the Warriors were putting on the Celtics defense. Like, it wasn't just in a vacuum the Celtics are like, let's just start doing weird switches. Like, that was the desperation move. And so that is totally Steve Kerr. I want to draw attention to the box again, where Magic Johnson has put Steve Kerr on his Mount Rushmore with four other coaches. Fox, is Magic in on the joke at this point?
Magic, I think that Alabaster broke the news to us that Magic has someone tweeting for him. These riveting tweets, like, apparently he's paying a social media person to do this. So,
which led to my theory that maybe he's like the greatest of all time tweeter, and it's the stenographer who's screwing up all the time.
I just think he's always thinking in basketball terms. He's going to visit Mount Rushmore with his starting five of head coaches. That's what he's doing. And Steve Kerr is now one of them. I just think they probably worded this wrong, but, you know, he's always thinking basketball.
It would be such a boon to the content industry if they added another face on the real Mount Rushmore. Like, if they made it, I don't know who does the National Park Service or whatever. If they add another face,
have to redo
that would
everything.
Change the entire paradigm of the content industry.
Goodness, I don't even want to go down the road of who it would be because that feels depressing. Let's just talk about who are you taking out there?
By the way, did they also spell Greg Popovich's name wrong, or is it spelled properly?
I don't know. Let's take out Pat Riley, obviously.
Yeah, wow. Riley goes first.
No, you don't get me started. All right, let's move on.
You want to get into the Brown and Tatum hating already? We're not done the Warriors.
We'll get back to Steph Curry and Steph and Clay. But I want to keep this moving a little bit so we can get through these first four topics.
I think we should add Brown, Tatum, and Udoka. So I'm sorry. Go ahead with your question so I can then ignore it.
That's fine. I'll add that. Did the NBA Finals change your perception of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Ime Udoka?
Yes, I think so. Like, I feel like my opinion of Jaylen Brown was somewhat elevated because of his aggressiveness in certain situations. obviously he cannot drive to the basket consistently and hold onto the ball, but that is not something that I thought was different. But I guess it seemed like he rose to the moment in many times, and he also was trying to elevate his play to that moment, which I don't want to step on Izzy, because Izzy's been on this particular island for a while about Jason Tatum's aggressiveness. So I'll let you get to that. But, I mean, my issue with Ime is it feels like the adjustments were made by Golden State and there were no adjustments made back. And I'm not going to pretend like I can dive into all the X's and O's, but consistently getting dominated out of the locker room in the third quarter feels like that's on the coaches. And watching them not have an offensive answer where they look stagnant offensively, we can blame the players for a few possessions, but it felt that way for a series of games, a bunch of very key possessions. And I know they don't have a true point guard who may be able to conduct in these moments, but it still feels like they felt lost in those moments. And I don't know who to blame, the 24-year-old superstar or the coach, and it feels like the coach is getting off easy.
This series is starting to have a little bit of 2011 Miami Heat feel to it, and just Ooh. Don't. Because it was a little bit of LeBron not performing, right, to what we expect of him, and Dwayne Wade trying to save them. And it kind of felt like that with Jaylen Brown needing to do whatever he can do because, hey, my guy isn't necessarily performing when we need them. And yeah, I think that changed my perception of Jason Tatum, if only because he had been doing this for two and a half rounds, let's say. And, you know, to be able to do that against, you know, say what you will about Giannis and the Bucks not being whole, like, that's still a good defense and that's still a great defender. And Giannis, and he was spectacular at times in that series. Yep. And I just can't pinpoint the reason why he struggled, why he failed to be aggressive at times, why, you know, he looked like he was getting, you know, maybe it's not J.J. Barea in the post, but, you know, Steph Curry just whack, whack, you know, a couple of times there in the post and he could do nothing. And I think while it's not sort of projecting this onto him for the rest of time, hey, you're never going to be able to do it in the finals, blah, 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 he can have this moment. Like, he can have the LeBron moment, the Tragic Johnson moment, and try to get better from that. But he needs to examine the why in this. Was it him? Was it, as you mentioned, Ime Udoka not putting him in his spots? You know, a point guard not putting him in his spots because he has to create all the time from the top and not be, you know, not get to the post and everything else. I think it's a little bit of all of that. But I think at the heart of it, like, he probably needs to recognize, yeah, I could have done more. And for whatever reason, whatever that reason is, I'm going to, you know, change that mental attitude or change that strategy going into next season.
I'm going to introduce some mutually assured destruction here, Izzy. If you bring up the 2011 Heat, I'm bringing up the 2009 Magic, okay? Oh, I'm not going to do it.
Coached by former Miami Heat coach Stan Van Gundy.
I'm just putting that out into the universe that it's a possibility if we have more.
We got nukes too, heat, Izzy, just
heat
so you know.
Heat nostalgia talk. Heat nostalgia talk. Okay.
More
so
like a grenade.
I did not change my opinion of either Brown or Tatum in this series. I kind of knew what they were. It was funny. Alabaster and I were talking offline. Oh, and
I already knew. I'm a real basketball nerd junkie. I anticipated all of this.
But it was interesting because we're talking about the first pick in the draft, knew it should be. And my feeling on it is when you have the first pick in a draft like this, you only go for the guy who has the capability to be a Giannis-level superstar. We know what this is. We know that there's probably 18 to 20 organizations, Izzy, that can only be saved by a game-changing superstar. GM's not going to do it. Coach's not going to do it. Owner's not going to do it. Roster's not going to do it. The entire thing comes down to a superstar. And Alabaster said, and I'm not going to steal this. I thought about stealing the take. I'm going to give him some credit here, that the line is Jason Tatum. If you have a guy who's better than Jason Tatum, he can probably win the championship or get to the finals by himself. If it's below Jason Tatum, you need everything else to go perfectly. Now, this Celtics team obviously has Marcus Smart playing extremely good defense, best in the NBA, according to some voters. Obviously, Jaylen Brown played well, but I didn't change. This is almost, Fox, how I feel about Matt Ryan, right? Or Ryan Tannehill, where if everything goes right, this can be a Super Bowl team. If everything goes wrong, everybody's blaming them. Now, Izzy's getting
Hold
upset.
On, but he's first team all NBA.
Yeah.
Like, he should be Embiid, Giannis, Steph. Like, he shouldn't, like, I don't know. I think
not
the line.
But is that his, is that his fault?
But because he didn't perform
NBA.
He didn't perform to his all NBA standard in this finals, did he?
Yeah, so I think you're
And you was guys, it because of the stifling Warriors defense?
You and Alabaster are cheating here a little bit, because before this series started, neither of you imagined that he would perform this poorly. So yes, your opinion changed because we all imagined that he would at least attempt to rise to the occasion. So if you're going to honestly sit there and tell me that you fully expected Jason Tatum to not be aggressive and to like underperform in all six games of the finals, then you are a soothsayer. And why are you wasting your time here and you're not at Sportsbook making some people some money?
They don't let me wear a tie at the Sportsbook.
I mean, it's just
they thought
not
I was
fair.
Suspiciously dressed and they told me to leave. I don't know. Goodness. Only the pit boss gets to wear a tie.
I don't think the Andrew Wiggins point, too, is another one. Like, I don't think we anticipated this from Andrew Wiggins, even though he showed us glimpses of it to be able to shut. None of us thought that Andrew Wiggins was going to be able to shut down Jason Tatum in long stretches and also be effective on offense. Like, this, it's okay to be surprised. We don't know what we're talking about.
Wiggins is a strong defender, a plus defender. But Tatum, when he was driving, was being wildly predictable in what he was going to do. That's why he wasn't drawing fouls. That's why he was getting his shot blocked. I mean, you're talking 6'10 with, you know, ridiculously long arms. He shouldn't be getting blocked like that. And so whatever that reason was, again, he needs to address it, try to improve. I don't think it's a mental block. I don't think this is a Ben Simmons moment where all of a sudden he's going to be somebody who forgets how to play basketball. It's just a matter of turning it on at the right time. He's got enough victories. He knows how good he is. He just needs to translate that into a finals appearance if he ever gets there again.
And this is also, always – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
No, I was going to say also, Izzy, to your point earlier, like I don't think you can attach he's not going to be able to do it in the finals label. First of all, most – stars do not get the chance to prove it in the finals. So the idea that he would get there and struggle, I mean, that's kind of a good thing, that he even got there and got through the East, and obviously a weird year. We'll put a pin in that. I don't think it's a mental block because this is his first time. And he ran into a historic buzzsaw that I think all of us on this show picked the Warriors. I picked them in seven games. I thought the Celtics defense was going to be good enough. Pablo picked the Warriors in seven games also for a completely different reason. It was very strange. We won't relitigate that. But I do think that there's some encouraging signs to even getting this far. Izzy, I agree with you. He'll improve on the aggressiveness. He'll understand what it takes the next time he gets there. The finals is a different animal. Okay, it's a completely different animal, and next time, even if they go against a buzzsaw, I'll have a different mentality. I'm not out on Jason Tatum at all. My expectations were they would lose this game late, lose the finals late in the series, and that's what happened.
I'm just of the opinion that a lot of people make excuses for Jason Tatum. You know, I think he you know, at times when he had, you know, Kyrie Irving as the guy who was getting all the attention, it became, maybe he's not getting the ball enough. Or, you know, when he didn't perform a couple of times in the playoffs, it wasn't necessarily his fault. Or, you know, this great Warriors defense. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I saw Jaylen Brown getting aggressive and taking and making a good number of shots there. I didn't see Jason Tatum doing that at all. And so Jeff Van Gundy spent half the broadcast praising him for these passes where it was just like, you know, for Andrew Wiggins shows the tiniest bit of help and he passes it. Oh, that's a great pass. Like, I get getting off the ball, but there's a point where you got to be the superstar on your team. And it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people are making excuses for him, and he has all the ability in the world and can absolutely turn this narrative around. But right now, just appears a little bit too often for me for a guy in, you know, what, 5 years now? And so, you know, not to compare him to anybody else, because there's obviously, you know, everybody has their own path, but I think there's a little bit of excuses built in for him.
The Wiggins thing is interesting because it kind of feeds into what we were talking about, the feel-good narrative, is that somehow a guy who was supposed to be a generational talent when he was entering the draft is now an underdog, and we're so happy anytime he does anything good.
Right. And this is, I mean, this is, you said not to compare him to anything else, but we have to compare him to other things. Like, that's the only way that we can, like, put some context around it. And I think when we're comparing him, he still compares quite favorably. We're talking Jason Tatum now. It's the story behind Jason Tatum will be told in the next 5 to 8 years of his career. And it'll be a blip, or it'll be the motivation, or it'll be a career-defining moment, this last series. Like, that'll be decided as we go forward. And if he goes on to win a championship, win several championships, and is aggressive, we'll say that this was what he learned in that moment. If he doesn't, then he's going to have to wear that scarlet letter of being someone who shrinks in big moments, whether it's fair or not, which I do think that we started this at a faulty premise a bit, where you guys are talking about a single player, how good this single player is, can take you to a championship or win a championship for you off of us watching one of the kind of best team basketball, I would say, championships in a long time.
Guys, I got a question for you. And this is something I find fascinating. It's something we talked about with the Heat, Izzy, on banking on improvement of young players, whether it's Bam Adebayo or Tyler Hero. And I think it's something that can be illustrative to how we think about the Celtics situation. Can we bank on more improvement from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Jason Tatum made a jump as a playmaker and a defender this year. Jaylen Brown made a jump as a shot maker, still can't dribble or pass or make decisions in traffic. Can we expect another jump from Marcus Smart? Can they run this team back and expect a better result, or do they need to make a move? Brad Stevens has shown that he's not afraid to make moves. And like, I have legitimate questions about just bringing back this exact same team moving forward.
I agree. I do too, because those same questions that you have about Marcus Smart now, you know, just strip away some of those accolades, you still have those same questions, because he's not point guard. He is not everything you need him to be as a decision maker on both sides of the floor in crucial times. And so I think if you're going to pull the trigger on something, you know, you can look at it two ways. Oh, we were that close. Or you can look at it as, oh, we blew it because we didn't have this. And I think that's the case. And, you know, I think Robert Williams is going to have a lot of thinking to do and a lot of resting to do, frankly, because, you know, he risked it all with that shaved meniscus and maybe not risked it all. But, you know, can we expect improvement from him, or is he going to be sort of a long-term knee issue there? I don't think you can run it back the same way. I don't think you can sort of hit your head against the wall that same way just because you've got a round deeper. Because, hell, if Jimmy Butler makes a shot and they get one stop, then maybe they don't get a round deeper, and then you're definitely going to look to change it.
Brought it back to the Heat, as usual.
Well, I haven't even started comparing Tatum to Dwayne Wade in year three. Because he did it in year three as the main guy, and, you know, Tatum has not.
Having Shaq didn't help.
Got a lot of comparisons.
Izzy, you know far more about hoops than I do, especially the day-to-day.
I heard you talking college hoops. I don't know about that.
Is there a sense of urgency because the Magic have the first overall pick that the window could be closing in the in the East when they get Chet and then Franz and then Isaac comes back? Oh, Isaac, the other day I saw Jonathan Isaac has some bestseller book. I don't want anything to do with it. I have no idea what it's about. It's called Why I Stand. Gosh. Not looking anything into it. But at some point, yeah, no, really. I saw it, dude.
Real
I saw
team
it.
Unity
Can
guy.
Can I take it back to the Celtics changing things up? Because I thought that when Derek White played well, it made it quite clear to me. When he played well offensively, it made it clear to me that that's the piece they need. It's like they need that piece. And it's not fair what we're doing to Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is not a point guard, really. And he has a long history of, like, making questionable big-time moment decisions. He made that great mid-air pass, a great mid-air decision to get it to Jason Tatum to win that early series. But other than that, like, I don't think anyone has ever really trusted Marcus Smart like that, and they're putting him in that situation in part because Jason Tatum is not being aggressive and taking the game over at that point. So, yeah, if they're going to make a move somewhere, it's finding someone that is comfortable in those late-game situations to make decisions. Unless Jason Tatum gets better, which I don't think is crazy. He's not going to get better physically, but there's a maturation that happens after you have these experiences. And when he gets far enough away from the series, he can look back on it and analyze it, have people help him analyze it. And it's possible. We all think he has the capability to do the things that we want from him, right? That's the reason why we're upset. Is because we think he has the capability, but he didn't follow through. And that's a myth.
Here's what I think. His go-to should not be the sidestep three. No. It's too difficult to shot. It's very James Harden-ish. It's just get in the post. Like, you know, the fadeaway is great. I mean, you want to talk about things you worked with Kobe. Like, get back there because you didn't see enough of it there. And it's just a better way, frankly, as far as a basketball nerd, to really get a double. To get a double drawn and, you know, have their – and then you just kick out from there. And so, I think he can improve – but again, I don't think it's just him. I don't think he needs to go, you know, see Drew Hanlon and say, hey, let's work on this skill because I need to get better at being able to score. No, I think he needs to get better at being, or his team needs to put him in better positions and his point guard needs to put him in some better positions. And then we can make the final judgment on him because it did feel like, you know, he did have to do everything. And that's something that would also obviously help Jaylen as well. If he didn't have to dribble all the time to get his shots and he didn't, you know, have that radar, that lock for traffic because he seems to find it every single time. Then maybe he'll be a little bit more efficient. But I don't think they can get that much better now.
All right, guys, let's hop on to the next one. We're going to do a couple What Are the Chances here in the last 8 minutes of the show. First one, we have a soundbite for you to listen to on the back end of this. It's from Perk and another guy. And our question, what are the chances Steph's post-game taunting was justified.
Clearly, remember some experts and talking heads putting up the big zero of how many championships we would have going forward because of everything that we went through. So
the question is, how many titles in the next 4 years? So y'all gonna sit on First Take. You and Dominique Foxworth are going to sit on First Take and say that Steph Curry will not be in the conversation for a championship in the next 4 years. Yeah.
They were just adjusting the binoculars to look into the future is all they were doing.
It was a periscope that I could see the one title that Steph was. So, I mean, he's 100% justified. Like, I mean, there's no argument for it. Like, he did exactly what I said he couldn't do. So if he chooses to take his part of his championship moment to dunk on random experts, I appreciate him calling me an expert. Yeah. Thank you. But, yeah, you win the championship. You do whatever the hell you want. I'm not afraid of the criticism that comes with being out there because we certainly have been criticizing him for his play. So, 100%, 200%, 1 million percent, do your thing.
I believe that not only was he justified, but thank you, Steph, for choosing the right network. Because if it had been somebody else, somewhere else doing these, then they would get all the attention. So thank you to First Take and to ESPN for being the show of choice for Steph Curry. I would say 109%.
I'm going to go with 50%, and here's why. I thought it was really unfair for him to go at Kendrick Perkins. But going right at Dominic Foxworth, that was justified. So I'm going to go with half and half here, right? Just zeroing in right in on Dominic Foxworth.
Yeah, I mean, Kendrick Perkins
who's
is
doing the writing.
Yeah, that's some scary writing.
Who was doing the writing?
Just imagine.
Did you change your nines? Did you adjust because you didn't want to be mocked?
Yeah, I got shamed into doing more vertical nines by you.
I am an influencer. Awesome.
What were you doing?
My profile.
You're doing like G9s? Were you doing hook bottom nines?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. That's atrocious.
What is that?
Yeah, thank you.
You just got put in a serial killer database by FBI.
Bullying works. Yeah. I've proven it.
Yeah, you can't do an upside down six. It's absurd. So, I mean, Steph's justified. I don't know what there is to discuss here. I personally am enjoying this. The funny thing is, like, my mentions obviously are on fire. The outrageous thing to me is most people are, like, enjoying dunking on me, which is fine. But there are, like, actual people with real check marks who are, like, mad at me. Like, how dare you ruin sports like this? Like, what? I made it better. Like, it's more fun to have stuff to talk about. Like, I don't get those people. Relax. I doubt that Steph Curry actually gives a damn or is losing any sleep over me doing this on TV. Why you are, I don't know. But this has been fun.
It's a good way to identify the biggest losers on the internet. If they have a blue check and they're going at you at, like, 2 in the morning after a championship game. It's okay if random fans are. That's where I draw. Like, if you want to blow some steam in my direction, go ahead. But if you're just like, you know, working at the Sacramento Bee and you want to come at me, like, that's a different. Buckle up your chin strap.
That's the thing. All right, I think we're done with Steph.
Let's move on to Clay.
I love the Sacramento Bee, by the way. That's not a shout at the Sacramento Bee. It's just a random newspaper.
Are you scared of catching some subliminal?
No, those are my guys over there in Sacramento.
The Beehive's coming after you, Kevin.
I named them because I love them.
All right, let's get to the Clay of all of this because, you know, Game 6 Clay didn't really show up last night. But they won the series, and Clay wanted to do some chirping, too. We have another soundbite for you, and what are the chances Clay's post-game taunting was justified?
So this was a collective effort, and strength in numbers is alive and well. I can't wait. There's this one player on the Grizzlies who tweeted strength in numbers after they beat us in the regular season, and it pissed me off so much. I can't wait to retweet that thing. Freaking bum. I had to watch that. I'm just like, this freaking clown. Okay. Sorry. That memory just popped up. You're gonna mock us like you ain't ever been there before, bro. We've been there. We know what it takes. So to be here again, hold that.
Ooh, that's how I feel every time somebody says blank culture. Come on now,
hold that. We're going back to the Heat. Yeah, I mean, my opinion is not going to change. It's again 100%. Yeah, it's your time. You can do what you want. The one criticism that I would have for their general trash talk is do it before you got the hats. Like, it's more fun. raise the stakes before you got the hats, before the confetti's falling. Like, before game six happens, if Klay is out there with his chest out and Steph is calling out people who are doing zeros, like, to me, that feels a little bit riskier and more fun. That's all.
This one was so good because he didn't even give Triple J his name, like some guy on the Grizzlies. Like, that dude's really good, man. He is on all defense. You know his name. You damn well know his name. And he didn't even come close to saying his name. He didn't even say big guy. He said some guy.
I'm also going 100%. I would also say that he brought that up in the most unnatural way possible. Yeah. Like, he was walking that around the block. That way he was, like, I think he was waiting for somebody to bring it up, and he was like, well, it was almost like a stand-up comedian. Like, you guys read the news yesterday? Like, that was, it was just perfect that he was waiting. He probably had some notes. Probably had notes written down and was like, this is what I want to get through.
So strength in numbers, just put all the numbers on there for percentage rise. 1 through 9, that's my percentage.
It's smart to leave the name out because that's the only thing that made me sad this morning. Is people had to Google to find me for trash talk. Like, if I'm gonna make a bad call, at least let me benefit from it. Like, put my name in it. Dominique, 2 O's.
By the way, strength in numbers kind of sounds like 15 strong, which was the Heat motto in 2006.
Oh my God. I mean, you're right. He's got it right.
There are no lies there.
The 2009 Magic's motto was, got any PEDs?
Yes.
Wow.
Save us, Alabaster. Save us.
Wow. Kind of funny that Jerry Jackson's a lot better than Klay Thompson now. Anyone else think about that with the trash talk? Like, he's a much more useful player.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Klay Thompson did not show up in this game. But again, none of this matters. When you win, like, the winners get to write the history books. Isn't that a thing that people say? Yeah. They won. So Klay gets to say whatever he wants. Steph gets to say whatever he wants. Me and Perk are going to get a starring role in the Steph Curry docuseries that comes out 20 years from now, which I'm already not looking forward to being. What do I be then? Like, almost... Yeah, I'll be almost 60 years old, and I'll have to listen to people tell me how stupid I was. By then, it might be annoying, but for now, it's still fun.
I got one more follow-up. Dominique, Steph has 3 years left on his contract. How many more championships is Steph Curry going to win with this team?
No. Wait, let me get my camera. All right. Oh, wow. Oh, man, he did it again.
I ain't scared.
I thought you were giving the answer in middle fingers on the outside because that's. I think it's going to be at least one, but I just can't show the finger.
I'm putting up a finger.
Would the Warriors trade Klay for Triple J right now?
No, because he said he knows how he's been there before. He knows what it takes. I like that. So they need to have him there because otherwise they might forget what it takes.
How did he not say that when they beat the Grizzlies in the second round? Like, that should have been where he dropped it, right?
Yeah, no. He wanted maximum embarrassment. We wouldn't be talking about it right now. Now we can maximally talk about Triple J's embarrassment for our next couple of days. And
strength
in
numbers. That is the definition of strength in numbers. Wait until you can bully him at maximum opportunity.
15 strong.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Happy Friday. Juneteenth coming up. Go say happy Juneteenth to a black person. It will make them uncomfortable.
So the day after a holiday in this